Welcome back to Sweepy Podcast The Early Years with your host, Loretta McDonough. We are here now today in County Mayo, and anybody listening who's outside of Ireland, this is in the west coast of Ireland, in a place of Castlebar in a town called Derriharriff. And we're talking to a lovely lady called Avril Grufferty, and she is a service provider, preschool leader of Outdoor Explorers Preschool. So I drove up today and same old story with me, put the Google map on and got lost for an hour while trying to contact Avril on phone to see where I was. And I got to see, as Anne said, a beautiful part of Ireland. And if you're ever on these shores, you should really pop into Castlebar town and have a look around at Westport. And it's really fabulous and wild and wonderful, and scenery of green and trees and the wind. It's just really gorgeous, and I'd invite anybody to come out, but especially if you're out this side and you want to call in to a preschool that is specifically run all outdoors. And I thought, as a Dublin woman, that this could not happen in Ireland, wet, miserable, cold, damp Ireland. And I came out here today and I'm so inspired and actually ready to go back to my own setting and pull the shed apart or try and do something in that to try and do a little bit of more outdoor activities. So enough of me talking. Is there always sick of me rabbiting on and doing things like this? And I'm going to introduce to Avril. Avril, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Now, we're in a preschool setting and it's an outdoor setting. And yes, I've seen all the children outside running around. I've seen a man playing a guitar. I've seen arts and crafts. I've seen risky play. I've seen a little off-road race.
Yep.
Climbers. I've seen engineering trying to work out how the transformer turned inside out and inquisitive minds. And then we came inside and we've seen the children doing arts and crafts. And one little girl said to me she was setting up her own printing office and she was very busy, you know. So a lot of work going on. And you can see in the background, the staff are there, the teachers are there, but they're non-intrusive.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's what I love about it. It's, I worked in an indoor setting for the year before I opened my setting here in Outdoor Explorers. And I noticed myself on my journey home, I'd say, oh my God, how many times did I say shh, indoor voice, or sit down? And that doesn't happen here, do you know? Yeah. And we're, you know, if they're playing with Play-Doh inside, it's just, I suppose, inbuilt in adults that, oh, we'll tell them to clean up or don't dirty the floor, all that. Yeah. But here the birdies take away the flower, do you know? So we don't have to, be thinking about the adult side of it when we're outside. We can be thinking of what the children are learning constantly, do you know? We don't have to be hovering over them. We don't feel that way about it here, do you know, about teaching children, because the children are so busy in what they're doing themselves, and their activities are born out of their own imaginations, and we run with that, do you know, the kind of way. So that's,
and you can see it, Avril, because that's what I noticed. That, like, even in my own service, you see the teachers, you hear the teachers, you know, we're very present in an indoor environment.
You can't help it.
No, you can't, and that's just your environment that you're in. So it is very refreshing. So Avril, how did you get here today? What is your background? Were you a teacher, a preschool teacher before you got here?
No, I was in the Defence Forces for 15 years, and as the years went on, closer to the end of my journey in the Defence Forces, I felt I wanted to do something new. So I went and did night courses. I did my level 5 and level 6 in Montessori and loved it. And my lecture was very much focused on the outdoors. And I think that's where I got it from, really, because I could see how I could do it then, you know. And then the ball started rolling and I got ideas, and I met a lovely lady, Mary Skillington, and she helped me out, and we spoke to Tusla and it just went from there. It was fantastic. Yeah.
You just had it. Yeah. You had this little bean and you wanted it to grow, and you had this idea. Yeah. And then obviously you're come from around this area and you had a site.
Yes.
Yeah. And then where did it grow from there? So you had this field.
Yeah. So it was just the plans then, and closely working with Tusla. So, the lady in Tusla, she just every time I came to with her for an idea, maybe about the fence around the perimeter of the school, there would be a lot of conversation around that, because obviously that is safety first. So I'd come up with an idea and then I'd go and meet her and she'd tell me yes or no or tweak it, and then we'd go back to the drawing board and we'd come back and meet again. So it was a long process in the beginning, about the height of hills and different things and me pushing boundaries with Tusla, but eventually we got there.
And this, because it's like, you know, it's very interesting, because if anybody's interested in doing this, Tusla is, I'm going to say, barrier, because you have this great idea.
Yes.
And, you know, you know where the idea is coming from, and you're inspired by other people in your profession. So you know the idea is good and you know it's beneficial.
Yes.
So when you're meeting Tusla, do you have to have engineer power? It's like you're up against somebody to say no and you're going, well, actually, the fence is okay. How do you get around that?
It was just conversations back and over. Genuinely, it was emails going back, and I stuck with the same lady in Tusla the whole time. So we had a kind of a rapport at the end of it. But I wanted, for instance, about the fence, I wanted the children to be able to see for miles, that it wasn't a wall or it wasn't a wooden fence that you couldn't see past. And that was my thing. So eventually I got what I wanted, but it took a while, you know.
Okay.
And actually what we would love in years to come would be no fence, that the children would know the boundary and that would be it. But we have rivers around us and stuff, so we have to kind of be very careful about that as well, you know. But children, once they are given the tools to own an area and a location and own their own kind of little preschool, it's their little hive, you know, and they love it. They won't go beyond a boundary, or they don't want to, because they know the crack is in here, you know.
And the safety. They know where they're safe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you know? Yeah. So it's with regards to Tusla, I think it's just building rapport with the one person is what happened with me. And it was fantastic. It worked that
and
way.
And do you think then that a relationship of trust was built, so that when you were speaking to her, then she knew kind of what this has been informed?
Yes,
kind of conversation.
Exactly, yeah. And she told me to go away and do research on different areas as well, you know. So I did that and I go back to her with that, and I got an architect to draw plans, and everything was very professional, because it had to be for the business. And once she was happy, then it was great, you know.
That's so fantastic. And then also for Tusla, like, when I was outside, I've seen the outdoor toilets, and I've seen there's areas that you can't see the children and you can't observe them, and they're off and they have the
and
freedom.
That worried her as well.
So and how do you get over that, like, how do you tell her that's because I'm telling you now, Avril, there's parents that could come out to an area, like, especially in Dublin and in cities, and they're fearful of what if you don't see him, and what if he gets caught in the tree, and what if he climbs? So what do you say
to
that?
But if you say what if to everything, you won't do anything. You'll just sit down. Do you know, you won't. So you have to push yourself a little bit, especially with, I feel with children this age and older, that you need to let them experience, let them do risky play, because if they don't have the space around them, I think children this day and age are screens, and they're 2D, really. They're just, they have the screen on them all the time. So this is a reprieve or a haven for that, I think. Because when you go home, I do it myself, they'll have the TV on while I'm cooking the dinner and all that kind of stuff. But at least here, the parent knows that their child has had 3 solid hours in the fresh air. And they've been imaginative play and everything, you know. So I've probably gone off on a tangent now.
No, not at all. And they're leading. So give us an example for anybody listening of the start of the morning. So, you know, when mummies drop them off. So, like, what happens then?
So we ask parents to drop their children off with all their outdoor gear on.
So they're well prepared. They're coming well stocked.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So they'll come, and then the mommy or daddy will bring in the granddad or granny or uncle or aunt will bring in their bag into their little hook area, and they'll put all their clean clothes into their basket and all that. And then the children are gone already, usually, you know. So they adult leaves then, and the children have about 40 minutes of play
outdoors.
Yes. Oh yeah, everything is outdoors. So they're gone playing, they're finding their friends, they're doing their thing that they didn't finish yesterday, they're continuing it on and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll call greeting time. So we all go into the gazebo that's in the middle of the garden with windows all around it, so you can see all the children. And so we all go into the greeting area, and we'll have a chat and say hello and anything that anybody wants to say, especially after the likes of Easter or a weekend or anything like that, or Christmas. They have loads of conversation and lots that they want to tell the teachers and their friends. And after all that, then, or within that, there would might be an activity might just spring from it. Like what they were doing today was they were making driver's licenses, because there was a couple of little boys that were driving trucks and they were doing the silage and all that. So they needed a driver's license. It came up out of somehow, somewhere. And so the teachers have cut out driver's license and brought in their own driver's license to show the children. And now they're all drawing their own, you know. So just things, and that just happened innately. It just happened. It just naturally. You know, naturally. Yeah. And that's every day here. We don't do we don't do planning. I haven't had a DES inspection yet.
I was going to ask you about that.
And I would love one. But, and we did apply for it. Do you remember they were looking for volunteers?
The pilot scheme,
but we didn't.
Yes. Yeah.
But we've had loads of TUSLA inspections and PUBL and all that, but no DES yet. But so far, we've been applauded with the way we're doing it. Paperwork is to a minimum for the practitioners because they're not getting paid enough. And also, there's no need for it because we have a little A5 copybook for each child and it's a story to the child. So I can show you later.
Yes.
We don't do scrapbooks. If a child creates something like you saw earlier that they were doing the printing office, that'll go home with them today, or else we'll ask them, would you like to leave it here and we can finish it tomorrow until the project is done. But we do little A5 books, and each 2 weeks to 3 weeks, a practitioner will write a story to that particular child and of what they have done this week or
the
whatever.
Month. Yeah. Yeah,
and it'll be to that person. And I think it's very personal. It will be to the child. And every now and then the child will take it down and they'll want to add their own. So they'll draw. And then we bring it home. If a child wants to bring it home or a parent wants to bring it home, that's no problem. And it comes back full. The parent has taken photos of the children and they've gone to the cinema or they've gone to the beach or whatever it was. And that's added to it. So it's very much an inclusive book for that child to bring home at the end of the year. And it's solid as well. So when they're 18 or 20 or whenever they meet another half or whatever that they want to share it with, that it'll be there, you know. So I think it is a good way to do
it. Lovely. Yeah. It's lovely. And I think, especially within Ireland, in our own services, there is a lot of misconception about these journals and documenting and parent collaboration and what actually has to being given. And and you hear like a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing to know that your practitioners don't have that heavy burden.
No, that's all they do. Just the A5 book. We don't do anything else.
So, Avril, will you give me a call and let me know when DESH comes out? How you actually got around?
Well,
you know,
oh, I tell a lie. Actually, we do a big, large book, and we every month a practitioner fills in all the activities they've done that month. So it's their job that particular month to fill it in. So if they were doing blackberry picking or mud pie making, and then another activity might be sandcastles, that the children or the adults would have taken photos, and then the children, after the photos are stuck in, they add into it what they were doing. So the practitioner will ask them what did they do there, and they'll add it in. So there are little story books like that, but it's quite a large poster book. And that's how we show parents what we do in the school, new parents. So the TUSLA have seen that and they like that.
And
as
they
well.
Like that
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it's just like, you know, because it's so, I know it sounds crazy that I'm saying it's so different in a country that we are known for our outdoors.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in a country that we have so much beautiful land that sometimes we enclose ourselves into a box.
Yeah.
Especially purpose-built crèches, or not. I'm not even saying purpose-built crèches. Yeah. I'm just saying when you're setting up your own setting, you tend to come in, rather than look out.
But a lot of people now are going out. You know, I'm getting a lot of phone calls, not just from the locality, but from other parts of Ireland, of practitioners that want to go out to their garden and they're just not sure how to do it. So I think it is. It's happening, but it might be slow. But it
now,
is happening.
Avril, I think you're going to have to go on tour. I honestly think we have to get you around Ireland. I really honestly do.
Stop.
I think we have to get you out there and telling people, because I think no matter, you know, there's I can't think of the name of it, but there's a organisation in London at the moment and they are bringing this outdoor and they're opening up roofs and taking floors off crèches so that there's a well inside, you know.
Wow.
So it is, it is, look, we know nature is good for us, you know.
There's no downside.
So when you were doing, when you were thinking outdoor, because like your background in the forces and things like that is very outdoor and physical. What? How much research do you have to do on the preschool? Like how? Like how do you convince a parent? Yeah, they're going to be outside for 3 hours. Oh yeah, it snows or rains. Yeah, it doesn't matter really. Of course, they're going to be grand. Like there's that little bit of even the debt, or even you know, Tusla, you know, persuading them that the benefits. So where did you find out the benefits of this?
I suppose it was just in me that I loved outdoors. So that worry was there that parents wouldn't take on my idea and wouldn't appreciate it. So I did an awful lot of door to door in the first year and talking to parents in Castlebar. I did a lot of baby and toddler groups and just getting the word out there that fresh air is good, do you know? And surprisingly, it was the fathers, the daddies that were really worried about their little ones. Mummies were like, yep. Brilliant, we'll send them out. But there was the fathers that were very much, you can't let my little 3-year-old out there. So not for 3 hours. But eventually what I did was I bring them in now. I bring parents in for Parents' Day and I teach them what we do. So we explain everything that we do and everything, the ins and outs of it between parents having to get the clothes dry for the next day and all that kind of stuff, and exactly what their children will be doing from day to day in nature, just running around, being allowed to be children, having risky play, but it is positive risky play, and explaining every little bit. That's before they enroll. So then I ask them then if they want to come in to me and to enrol, they can, but I don't really take enrolments until they see what we are, because there are a handful of parents that see us and go, no,
not for me.
There's the majority that love it, but from that day onwards some might come for three parent days. That means their child was just one when they start, and then start coming to see us. So we've built up a rapport with those parents because they're so into the outdoors, you know. So I think I know the struggles and I've heard the struggles that indoor settings are having, but I haven't really come against it here because they know what they're getting into, you know, from day one. And when I'm explaining to parents what happens, like there's no children that day, they just come in and they listen and ask questions and all that kind of stuff, that they've been given all the tools now and they can decide whether they like it outdoors or not, you know.
And it's transparent, you're being very transparent.
Because if you're not, I learned in the first year or two, if you don't tell the whole story, parents kind of get shocked with the muddy boots going home and everything. So it is harder for indoor settings because they're coming in their pretty dresses, the little ones and all that. And it's very difficult. I know it is. But with outdoors, they're coming in their outdoor gear. And that's it. There's no qualms about it.
Preparation is key.
And we have loads of outdoor stuff for kiddies that might have forgotten a shirt, you know. Yeah. So everybody gets out.
Isn't that
has
great?
Fun.
Isn't it, everybody? Yeah, yeah. And when I came in, I'm trying to set the picture here. The wind was blowing. Lovely grey skies were low, but kind of bright. You know, that lovely kind of hazy sky that you think it's going to snow, but it's not going to. Yeah. And it was fresh, as we say in Ireland, it's a fresh day. And there was a man standing in the middle that looked like a fairy ring, singing or playing a guitar and sing, you know, just playing the music. And it was just gorgeous. Who is this man? Where did he come from?
Yeah, he's one of our employees and he's fantastic. He's a practitioner and he's a class leader in Outdoor Explorers. And his name is David. And he loves playing the guitar and he's fantastic at it. Now, he wouldn't play it for us the first year. He was a bit shy, but we got around him. But he's great with them. Absolutely. He's done his level 6 in early years and he's flying it.
Great to see him. I don't mean to be not prejudiced, but like it's great to see a man with children.
Yeah, because it is very unusual, but I think we need to see more of it, because I know with my two little boys, when daddy comes home, it's all very physical play and up in the air and around the garden and all that. And like kiddies need that. Yeah. And all these different types of families that we have nowadays, you know, they mightn't have a man in their life at the moment. So it's great to have that we have a bit of a different in here, like that we have the high tempo of David. Yeah. He'll kill me for saying that, but he's very much like he'd you'd see him running around the garden and playing hide and seek and things. Whereas on a nice, fresh, windy day, maybe not all the girls might be able for that, do you know, because we are a bit different than men, do you know, but so it is nice to see
and
him.
And it's
going.
That difference, Avril, isn't it? It's really, unknowing to ourselves, we're a very woman orientated sector, and you know, you can be not mindful of that.
We're more
our element.
Like on a day like today, we saw Emer there and she was sitting with two girlies giving them hugs, you know, and playing with them. Well, that's what we do, do you know, as women.
Carers. Kind of,
Whereas the other side is needed as well.
And I think there's a healthy balance of someone bringing somebody else on. And it's whether you're a woman or man, having that, like yourself, wanting the outdoors and having that in you.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't be sitting here in the preschool unless you had that idea and that inspiration and of that need to be outdoors, you know. So David has that, you know, that lovely spirit. You can see it flows from him. And I think we really do need more men in the sector.
Oh, for sure.
For the difference they bring, you know, and for the, not only in a gender difference, but in the mannerism that you just said, that they bring something different to the floor.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, they do.
They do, definitely. Yeah. So Avril, besides you running around Ireland and giving your speech about the wonderful wonderfulness of outdoor play, where are you going next now? Where from here, even you were saying that you were, it's every year it evolves.
It does, we have different little activities that we saw there earlier, and they change as the children change. So at the moment we were using, you know, real life hammers and nails and things, and they created a bench outside the work area. So that's changing a little bit of our setting as well. And that was the children that decided that, and they drew up plans and the whole lot. And the reason they started that was they didn't want, there's only two children allowed in the work zone at any time with a teacher, and that's the rules. So the rest have to wait outside a little bit until they're done. So they got sick of waiting and standing, so they wanted a chair to sit on, so they made a bench. So that was but that's how it's evolving, do you know. It is the children's input as well, do you know. And there was a huge thing there last year on fire engines and firemen and all that kind of thing. So there was a fire engine built, I don't know if you noticed it down there as well, and they had a lot of input in the design of that and how it was made and all that kind of stuff as well. But where I'm going from next with that's kind of the garden area of it. But next, as far as I'm concerned, I would love to see more dramatic or kind of child, I can't think of the word I'm looking for now, but for children to be able to make their own decisions.
Okay.
And to be able to, not to be able, I do feel that primary schools are, as you said earlier, hovering over children because they're in the indoor environment. Yeah. And I would love to see in Castlebar, because we're here, but everywhere, obviously, I'd love to see more kind of schools that would allow children to have a voice, do you know, more. Now, I'm not saying they don't, but I'd love to see it a lot more, that children would be able to, if they want to go outside and play, well, go out, do you know, do it. And and that the school would have the teacher to go out with them, do you know, to be able to that they would be safe in the environment. But they don't have that at the moment. And they I remember as a child myself, I'd be sitting down in the classroom just scribbling because I was bored, do you know. But if I was allowed to do what I wanted to do, I could be going to the science experiment classroom, or it could be somewhere else, do you know. But I think it would be nice if we could have something like that in education. And that's where I'm kind of thinking next. But hopefully we'll see something in the future.
Good woman. And I think you should, because like I said, that box that we built, an educational box that we built around us, and even the new schools that we have now that are being built in Lucan, there are lovely outdoor areas, but still you have the box in the middle. So it's not really outdoor. Like, your setting here is kind of like outdoor, and the indoor is around the outdoor. So it's, you know, if we could even embrace that. And schools do have a lot of property grounds.
They do. It would be lovely just to see it, because I don't know about you, but some of my fondest memories of school was going out on a nature walk, do you know, on a fine summer's day, do you know. So why not go out on a nature walk when it's wet, do you know. It would be fantastic for them, because they have much longer school days, and they're not getting out.
It's not healthy, I don't think, for the brain.
Yeah.
For, you know, even your stance and your well-being to be over a table all day.
Oh,
and like you said, you were finished, so you were doodling. So if is there an incentive there to say, well, now when you get your work done, the doors are open,
yeah,
and you can explore then and do something different. So it's an incentive to say,
exactly,
well, if I get this done, like your little guys inside, they were doing their driving license, and there's an incentive then to carry on that into something
else. Because it's
their
idea. Do you know, it was their emergent idea. It was what they wanted to do. Whereas in school, it's ABC. You have to do what the teacher at the top of the room is telling you to do. Do you know, I don't know. I think things have changed since then with all the screens and everything in the last 10, 15 years. I think it's time that we need to kind of go with the future, and at home, that 10-year-old will be on a screen. Do you know? Yeah. I know all my nieces and nephews are anyway.
But do you use screens and now instead of the blackboard?
Yeah.
With screens in classes now as well. So
and I'm not trying to hide from it, but I do think children need, for their posture and for everything, for mental health, they need to be outside as well. They need to do their own thing and to be own their own thing, do you know?
And instill it inside them from an early age.
Yeah.
You know, so that they'll want it. They'll have a want to be able to do that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, it's loads of children have different needs, and emotionally and socially, that, you know, they find it difficult. So that maybe if they're given this chance to be able to go outside, they can find their own little identity in the outside, that they can get the courage.
Exactly. Yeah.
To mix. Because I've seen two or three children that were choosing to play by themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were so happy.
Yeah. And as adults, we're there pushing them together because we think that's the right thing to do. And there's mammies and daddies saying, oh, my little Johnny didn't play at all with anybody. I was watching him over the fence. It's okay. Let Johnny play on his own. Do you know, he's doing his own thing. He doesn't look upset or sad. He's happy. Do you know?
Yeah. And he did.
It's us. Like, it's our hearts that are kind of in our minds saying, oh, no, he has to find a friend now. Do you know?
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works. And we all did it as children. We all did our own thing as well. You know, so let them have their space.
Space, isn't that it? Like, it really is letting them have. And I see that you have some students then from you said you had some placement students.
I do.
Where are they from now? Are they from Sligo?
All the way from Sligo. And she's fantastic.
Does she commute or she stays here?
She commutes. Yeah, she comes down on the bus in the morning, and one of my other practitioners gives her a lift then from her house. So very dedicated young lady.
Did she seek you out?
She did, and she is just born to be in the outdoors. Isn't it funny that she is doing her degree now, and you can see in her that she is just fantastic in the outdoors, and it doesn't fear. There's no fear. She's not scared of the outdoors or anything. And I've had many kind of employees that would be very weary of it, and they'd even pull me aside and say, look, I don't think it's for me, because they prefer to be at the desk, do you know, and the tabletop activity is on the shelf, and they'll go get it and they'll play with the child for an hour, and that's it, do you know, and that's their comfort and their safety zone. Whereas here, you could be this end of the garden, and then if you put a stepper on, you'll have done your 10,000, do you know, in the 3 hours. But along with that, on a side note, we're getting really fit, and we're healthy, do you know, because we're doing so much movement as well. Yeah. So it's great for everyone.
Great environment, as you said, if it's for you, where I think some practitioners feel, or it's their training, that learning is at the tabletop. Learning is when you see it, like in a school. That's the learning they see. So the learning for your children, how would you describe the learning that they're receiving?
The learning for our little preschoolers is very much emergent and very much on the move. And if they decide that they want to find a butterfly today, well, we'll help them find that butterfly, and then we can go on and look at the caterpillar book, or, do you know, the Hungry Caterpillar. So books are very much a part of our process every day, but we won't just sit down in a group and talk about it. We'll be looking for it, and we pretend we are caterpillars, and we'll be munching on leaves, and, do you know, and we'll physically go through the story of it, do you know, and that's our learning. We listen to the children. And what if they come up with an idea, we'll run with it. And the second, sometimes their idea, they don't want to do it 5 seconds later. Well, that's perfect. We'll just go on with something
Let
else.
Go.
But that's where some practitioners find it hard, because they can't concentrate on the one thing for half an hour or whatever it is, that they have to run with what the child is doing. And I think it's lovely. It's brilliant. And it's you really have to keep up with the 3-year-old's mind, do you know? And that's where what we're doing here. And I love that idea, and it works for us. And it keeps us busy, do you know? We're constantly on the go. There's no quiet moment.
And inspired and motivated.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not alone teachers, we're carers as well. Because as I said earlier, the hugs and the cuddles and the changing clothes, because if they get wet, we go in and change straight away. And yeah, it's all about snotty noses and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose on that as well, we're very healthy. We do have a few runny noses. But as I said earlier, when I was working in the indoor setting for the 1 year, I just felt I needed experience when we were building here as well in a setting. So I got a job, and the noses, even mine, was going constantly, like, and we were all sick, you know, the whole class all the time. Whereas here, the only time they're out is for things that you can't stop, like chicken pox and stuff like that.
Yeah, the viruses that are going like you can't combat them. Yeah.
But usually they're 99% of the time it's they're healthy, because there's those chemicals in soil, isn't it, that I'm always being told about, that are very happy chemicals,
happy
I'm told
chemicals.
And the children love playing in soil and mud. And so that's,
and happiness is key to all learning, I think, and contentment.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can see that here. And as a provider, a private provider, is how do you manage? Like in this last 7 years, how are you managing? You know,
In what way?
In funding.
In funding.
You know, like you're. We say you're a private setting, but at the same time, you're really a community based, because you're providing this excellent service.
Yeah,
and it's very new and kind of holistic approach.
Yes, definitely, you know, holistic,
isn't it? You know, that you're providing this, so like it doesn't come free. Do you know what I mean?
And
you know, so like, so how is you as a provider?
We provide the ECHI scheme, so that's provided by the government, and we receive the ECHI scheme each week for each child. But I don't do any other scheme. There was the National Childcare Scheme.
Yeah.
I decided not to go there because I'm not great at paperwork, and my practitioners will definitely back me up there. I prefer to be out playing with the kids and all that kind of stuff in the garden. And I find even itchy time consuming, you know. And all of this stuff that if a staff member moves at all, you have to send it in. You have to send in everything into Pubble. So I decided against it. So in regards funding, we stuck with the ECHI. We have waiting lists, so we're happy. I know other settings that I've spoke to have had to go with the National Childcare Scheme, but luckily, touch wood now, we haven't had to yet. But yeah, it is a struggle to pay staff the wage that they deserve. We have a lady with a master's, and we have two with level 8 degrees, and we have two with level 6. They're not receiving the wage they should be receiving. But as you saw today, they are very happy in their job and they love it. And it is heartbreaking that I can't give them the proper wage. But if I did, then we'd have to close, you know.
Yeah. So something gives.
Yeah. And they understand that. I've gone through all the numbers with them because we're a team, and that's the way I want to work it. But it is, hopefully the government will start funding a little extra, whatever the way they want to go about it. Hopefully they will do something for us. But at the moment, it's a bit of a struggle at the moment.
It is. And I think any listener that's listening, no matter where you live and what whatever part of the world you come from, there's a challenges in childcare.
Yes.
You know, and in educating and learning and caring. And even in the best of countries where they're provided with all the funding, there are still challenges.
Yeah.
And it's really refreshing and lovely to meet you, Avril, and
thank
see
you.
The great work you're doing. And I wish you all the best when you're on that tour.
Super.
You're very welcome. Thanks a million.
Cheers.
So there you have it. On to the next time. This is your host, Loretta, telling you to take care and be kind to yourself.